If you need a new podcast to listen to and you like comedians, you should check out It's Not About You with Jamal, Marianne, and Cousin Todd. It's a couple of stand-up comedians and their nerd talking about current events or interviewing their contemporaries. Okay, actually, it's just them talking to their friends and about what they've been watching on Netflix or Disney+. So check it out on your favorite podcasting app or go to Not About You, that's the letter U, notaboutyoupod.com. Notaboutyoupod.com. Come check it out. We also do live streams on Sundays at 1 p.m. on Facebook, facebook.com/notaboutyoupod. Same spelling.
We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa. It's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I am Todd, the 206 Geek, and you're listening and or watching my podcast, the 206 Geek. Today I'm streaming live from Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, and I think even on Twitter. Hi, everybody. So I figured, you know what? I didn't record anything this week for Friday, which is today. And I figured, you know what? I'm just going to do it all live. And then once I'm done with the podcast, I will then upload the audio from it to the podcast feed. So for those of you that actually follow the podcast, this is just going to be what you're going to hear on the podcast later today. I usually try to have them available like first thing Friday morning, but you know, just kind of busy life and forgot. And everything else going on in my world. So, all right. So the first thing I pulled up here that I thought might be interesting to talk about, it looks like the next Spider-Man movie, No Way Home, is rumored to have Green Goblin. You know, William Dafoe might be making an appearance. You know, from what I recall from this, what I've read about this movie so far is that it's going to be like the live action version of Into the Spider-Verse, which Sony saw it do very well last year? Yeah, or maybe it was the year before. Either way, the Into the Spider-Verse was their animated Spider-Man movie that Sony did by themselves, and I'm cleaning my glasses off because they're all kind of gross. That's what they're doing, and I've heard rumors, I've heard things that Alfred Molina, who played Doc Ock in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, is also going to be there, but yeah, Willem Dafoe is also from the same Spider-Man series. So, I don't know, maybe we'll see Topher Grace too, right? Probably not. So, this is really cool. This is the first time I've used Yellow Duck for doing this. Like I said before, if you're watching over on Facebook or one of the other platforms that does the full screen, you're probably wondering why I have everything like in the center of the screen like this. It's because that's how much of the screen is being used by Yellow Duck. And if I want to be on camera, that's where it needs to be. I think what I should probably do the next time is I can set up more than one camera. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll set up a secondary camera. Either way, it's, I don't know, maybe not. I'm just thinking out loud. For it to work on Yellow Duck, it has to be in the dead center of the screen. So that's why everything is squished in the middle there. That's why I have the chroma key turned on and I have the cool background. Because, you know, I'm thinking I need to start using that more. I got this chroma key green screen for Christmas, and I used it a handful of times and decided I didn't like it for whatever reason, or stopped using it because it was in the way, or something happened where I stopped using it. Either way, but I don't know. Sorry about that. I got loud.
Well, back at the podcast.
I got distracted. So let's get back to this story here on comicbook.com. It looks like William Dafoe's Green Goblin is going to be the Sinister Six leader. So I'm pretty sure Green Goblin was always the leader of the Sinister Six, at least in the versions of the Sinister. I'm having trouble with that word, apparently. That group in all the animated Spider-Mans that I've ever watched had those characters. So, I don't know. This could be good. This is what it says here. The latest Spider-Man No Way Home rumors points that Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin playing a prominent role in the film as the leader of the Sinister Six. William Dafoe has been one of several major actors from Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy and Mark Webb's two amazing Spider-Man films, rumored to have been coming back for Spider-Man No Way Home. In a story that will see the Marvel Cinematic Universe burst wide open. However, fans, I'm glad I read it as fans, because actually they have it spelled FNAS, FNAS, have been wondering if the Spider-Man movie alum would be getting glorified cameos in No Way Home, but the latest report points to something much different. And it says here, Collider's Jeff Snyder, latest podcast includes talk about what's going on with Spider-Man No Way Home. Part of that talk focuses on how Willem Dafoe's Norman Osborn / Green Goblin fits into the story, with Snyder claiming that Dafoe will be the main villain of the film. It's being speculated that Green Goblin will lead a version of the Sinister Six villain team that comprised of the villains from both the Spider-Man trilogy and the Amazing Spider-Man films. Ooh. That's cool. In addition to Dafoe's Green Goblin, Jamie Foxx's Electro and Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus have all been confirmed, with Thomas Hayden Church's Sandman rumored to be back as well. Other speculation points to the team being filled out by the Lizard and Rhino from the Amazing Spider-Man films. Okay, that'd be awesome. Let's hope that the Green Goblin gets a better suit. Maybe he gets some nanotech shit going on and he can, like, become an actual goblin. Kind of like they've done in the last couple of animated Spider-Man shows. They did that where I think it was nanotech. It was either nanotech or it was gene splicing. Either way, if you haven't watched them, they're both on Disney Plus. The most recent one's just called Marvel's Spider-Man, and the one before that was Spectacular Spider-Man. I love both. I love both series. It goes on to say here on this article, Marvel Studios already pulled Spider-Man trilogy star J.K. Simmons back in as the MCU J. Jonah Jameson. So the president has already been established. Norman Osborn is a character Marvel fans have been pushing for to see in the MCU for some time now, leading a version of the Sinister Six collected from across the Spider-Man multiverse would be one heck of a reintroduction. Yes, it would. Hell yes, it would. Oh, wow. I don't know. This is amazing if you ask me. Hold on a second. I need to check something real quick. I got new notifications. Oh, that's just notifications from like all the places that this stream is happening over on Facebook. And let me check the chat, the comment section. If there's anything there, doesn't appear to be. Nothing on Twitch, nothing on multi-stream. All right, so back to this. What do you guys think? Are you guys excited for the No Way Home? I am. I'm totally. Yeah. So far, this the Tom Holland Spider-Man has been my favorite. They went right into the action. They didn't bother with the origins of Spider-Man, and they had some pretty good bad guys. So, but the fact that they're bringing in some of the better elements of the first two trilogies. I guess technically the second one didn't have a third movie, so the first two iterations of the live action Spider-Man is awesome. The only thing that would make this movie better is if like the voice actors who all played Spider-Man make like appearances as well, playing other characters. Now, I'm trying to think of their names. I should know their names. I followed a lot of them on social media. But the one from the 80s and the one from the 90s are like the two that I really liked as far as like the Spider-Man's. Like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was like my first introduction to Spider-Man. Actually, technically speaking, my first introduction to Spider-Man was The Electric Company back in the 70s, which was a PBS show. The Electric Company. That's where the whole "Hey, you guys" comes from. Hey, you guys. That comes from The Electric Company. It got borrowed by the Goonies. But yeah. And then Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was a great show. I loved watching that on Saturday morning. What else? But the Spider-Man from the 90s is probably the one that I really enjoyed. I actually when Disney Plus first brought it onto the platform, I binge watched the whole series. Loved it. I think my favorite episode of that, though, is the episode where it's the multiverse thing. I think it's towards the end of the series, actually. Might have even been the last episode. But it's kind of the multiverse thing where he is introduced to all these various versions of Spider-Man. One being an actor who plays Spider-Man for a TV show or a movie, but he's wearing the outfit, so they just, you know, they assume he's also got the same powers. Like, no, I don't have the powers. I play Spider-Man on a show, and so it's pretty awesome. So yeah, my favorite episode is the one where it goes to the universe, which is our universe, if you think about it, where he meets Stan Lee, and he's talking to Stan Lee and trying to understand and blah, blah, blah. And he's trying to figure out what's going on with the multiverse and why he's in this universe and blah, blah, blah. And it was just awesome, if you ask me. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do like a repeat of that. Because, you know, Stan is no longer with us. I wish they would have done that while Stan was still alive. That would have been amazing. We've had plenty of really great, like, Stan Lee cameos in the Marvel movies, though. So, I still think, this is one of those things that I kind of thought of, and I'm sure I'm not the only one to think of this, But I thought that, you know, since Stanley has passed, that we should have Ryan Reynolds in the Deadpool costume wearing a Stan Lee wig and mustache over the mask and doing his best kind of like, you know, hello, true believers, you know? So I don't know, maybe the Lee, Stan Lee family, his family or whoever has control of his likeness and whatnot, may not find that nearly as amusing as I do. I think that would be great. I would love to see Ryan Reynolds just randomly appear in other Marvel movies wearing the Stan Lee wig from like the 70s and the mustache, like the full brown mustache. He always had that. For as long as I can remember, he's always had that mustache. But in the early days, in like the 70s, he had the brown mustache, but he had a full head of hair and it was brown and it was silver on the sides. That's the wig I want to see on Deadpool. I would love to see that. If you think that's a funny idea, or if you are with me when you think that's a good idea, hit me up on Facebook. Shoot me a message. You know, just I think it's hilarious. I mean, I would. That's something that I think would be kind of a cool nod to Stan in movies, in the Marvel movies going forward. Plus, you know, you can't go wrong with seeing Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. He might get tired of doing it, but I think it'd be great. All right. Let's see here. Sydney, I don't know if you guys can see the ticker right here at the bottom of my chin. That's just more or less, hey, if you like the podcast, show some support. Jump over to facebook.com/206geek/live, and there are things called stars. And if you don't want to jump over to Facebook, you don't have to. You can just, you know, send donations over to my Cash App, which is the, you know, the $206geek. Anything is good. Just show some support. Man, come on. Yes, so next story we have here. Looks like Marvel's delaying some movies that are supposed to be coming soon. Marvel's theatrical release slate continues to work out some wrinkles. Friday afternoon, the decision was decision makers at Walt Disney Studios opted to delay two of the House of Ideas upcoming projects. Both delays were dates already reserved by the studio and had yet to be assigned by an actual movie, at least on a public-facing basis. The dates impacted include the studio's October 2022 date and November 2023 date. So that, geez, that's like a year and 2 years away, so it's not a huge deal. I don't know. So it says here's the movie that was going to debut on October 7th, 2022 is now being pushed back nearly one full year and is now set to open in theaters October 6th, 2023. And the movie that was supposed to be coming out on 2023 in November is being pushed back to November 3rd, 2023 from the 3rd to the 10th of 2023. So it's like it's being pushed back a week. That's good. At least that one didn't get pushed back a whole year. With the October date bumping back a whole year and keeping in the same month, a frame Marvel rarely ventures into when it comes to releases. Most will probably agree that I am always mispronouncing this guy's name, Marshala Ali's Blade, I think that's how it's said, with spooky season ramping up right around then, it's a perfect release for the season. Production on the project was initially set to start this year, but has recently been pushed back as the studio continues to look for a director on the project. Who would you like to see be the director for the new Blade movie? Honestly, I think, seeing how the movie is supposed to be kind of like a scary one, assuming he would be okay with it or be interested, I think they should get like Rob Zombie, because Rob Zombie would really make it fucking scary as shit, or probably at the very least make it really, really spooky. But yeah, I think that would be a good choice. Rob Zombie doing the, being the director for Blade. I think that would be awesome. But that's me. That's just me, I think. Honestly, I don't think anybody else would be into that. I was just trying to think of a director who does, or even the guys over at Blumhouse would probably make a good Blade movie. Straight up freaking scary, scary movie. maybe that was a Freudian slip. I don't know. Do they say who they think should be the director on here? No, they just talk about some other stuff. All right. Okay. This is a convention I've never heard of before, so I want to read this whole thing. CinemaCon confirms August 2021 convention, announces studios participating. I'm gonna have to Google this convention now, because I've never heard of CinemaCon. I mean, this is probably, it sounds like it's like a straight up, like this is a convention for movies. I'm going to their website right now. I'm going to look at it. We'll see what it says on the website. There's got to be like a about us, or here's the link for press. Maybe I should click on that, because let's see. No, I want to find out, like, what the convention's about CinemaCon. Here we go. That's what I'm looking for. It says, since taking its first step in 2011, CinemaCon has evolved and grown to become the largest and most important gathering for the worldwide motion picture theater industry. CinemaCon is truly a global event, attracting attendees from more than 80 countries. On behalf of CinemaCon, the official convention of the National Association for Theater Owners, or NATO. Really? Oh, well, we extend our sincerest appreciation and gratitude to the entire motion picture theater industry for helping to make the past 9 years so successful. All right. And now, as we gear up for our 9th show, the excitement continues when CinemaCon returns to Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas from August 23rd to August 26th, August 2021, for what is sure to be the biggest convention to date. So it's a convention for, like, theater owners. The National Association of Theater Owners, NATO, NATO, or NATO. Okay, I don't know. Isn't NATO like a, isn't that like a like a military or government thing. Maybe that's NATO with a D, not a T. I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Okay. This is what the story, I was just reading from their website what they are. This is what it says here over on comicbook.com/movies. Back in November of 2020, CinemaCon confirmed that the 2021 event was being delayed from spring to summer, taking place from August 23rd to the 26th at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. In an announcement today, the convention confirmed that this year's event is still on for those dates, while also announcing that studios will be attending. What studios will be attending? According to The Hollywood Reporter, Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Sony, and Universal will be present, along with MGM, United Artists, United Artists, and then Lionsgate. That covers everybody, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds like every fucking studio that's out there who makes movies right now. Although MGM just got bought by Amazon, so I don't know. Maybe I should talk about that more than this. I just saw this yesterday. Let me see if I can find it on Facebook. That Amazon bought MGM Studios. So I really hope that they don't change the name of MGM. You know, maybe they will do a Amazon-MGM or MGM Amazon or Amazon MGM. Either way. Let's see. I gotta open up another tab for Facebook. I don't want to close that tab or move away from that tab. Let's see here. I got a song stuck in my head too. It's a song by the band Rock Sugar. If you've never heard of them, do a Google search for Rock Sugar Band, and you will be pleasantly surprised by how amazing their music is. But I have this... I think I've talked about them before. I'm pretty sure I have. But the lead singer is Jess Harnell, who's the voice actor best known for being one of the Animaniacs. She's done voices for Doc McStuffins, Transformers. He's done everything. I think for a while there, he was even the announcer guy for America's Funniest Home Videos. Coming up next on America's Funniest Home Videos, kind of thing. I think I saw it over on a Facebook group. Not ribs. All right. It wasn't on Nerds Over 40. I think it was over on Nerds Collide. Because I think Josh posted it. Shout out to Josh. Sorry. See, scrolling down, lots of funny memes. It's funny is when I started seeing the word meme, I legit thought it was meme. This made me think of Beaker from The Muppets. Meme. Where is it? Lots of funny memes, funny stuff, ha ha ha. Oh yes, and May 25th was the 44th anniversary of the release of the original Star Wars movie. Yay! I remember sharing the story about that because it was like, oh man, I remember going to the theater to see those movies. Now I don't recall if I'm remembering seeing the first one or if I'm just remembering seeing Empire and Jedi when I was a kid, but I definitely saw all three when they first came out. Where the hell is it? What was I looking for again? Oh yes, Amazon being bought or buying out MGM. I could have sworn it was on here. Maybe it's farther back than I initially thought. They've been posting a lot of stuff. Either way, there was an announcement for. I just fucking Google it. That's what I'll do. I'll talk about Amazon buying MGM Studios. All right. Come on. It helps to actually spell properly, too. Today, computer, thank you. So, like, the big thing that they were talking about in this whole, like, MGM Studios being bought by Amazon is that Amazon now owns James Bond. So, maybe we'll get more James Bond movies over on Amazon. Oh, my God. Let's see here. Amazon to buy MGM Studios for $8.45 billion, with a B, billion dollars. This was 2 days ago. This happened. And this is the story over on CNBC. Let's see here. Amazon said Wednesday that it will acquire MGM Studios for $8.45 billion, making its boldest move yet into the entertainment industry and turbocharging its streaming ambitions. The deal is the second largest acquisition in Amazon history, behind its $13.7 billion purchase of Whole Foods back in 2017. Yeah, and you know the thing about that is I haven't been to a Whole Foods since then. Because, well, I didn't go to Whole Foods to begin with because Whole Foods is expensive as shit. And I don't see them, like, making it cheaper just because it's Amazon. I think that they're making a shit ton of money off of those stores. And it says here, Amazon said it hopes to leverage MGM's storied filmmaking history and wild-ranging catalog of 4,000 films and 17,000 TV shows to help bolster Amazon Studios, its film and TV division. Quote, the real financial value behind this deal is the treasure trove of IP in the deep catalog that we plan to reimage and develop together with MGM's talented team, said Mike Hopkins, Senior Vice President of Prime Video and Amazon Studios. Quote, it's very exciting and provides so many opportunities for high-quality storytelling. Yeah, I just, and somebody else said yesterday when I saw this post, I think it was Josh actually, he says that now that Amazon owns MGM, maybe Amazon will do something with Stargate. You know what? I would love to see like a Stargate reboot, whether it be the movies or the TV show SG-1 or or Atlantis. I didn't really care for Universe. Yeah. But if you do, that's fine. I watched like the first five episodes and I lost interest. Yeah, no, I would love to see like a reboot of SG-1, like a whole new like group of people, maybe some cameos from the original cast. I don't see them wanting to do it. Well, maybe they would. I don't know. I don't see them wanting to do it again. So, but yeah, Amazon bought MGM Studios. So they also have, I think MGM also has the Pink Panther, which I wouldn't mind seeing more of those. I mean, Steve Martin was hilarious in those. Would I say there is funny or funnier than the originals? Close. They're a different kind of funny. The originals with Peter Sellers were like one of my favorite movies when I was growing up. Largely because his last name was Sellers, like mine. I was like, oh my God, this guy's famous. He's making movies. He has my last name. That is so awesome. But, yeah. Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk about today, or I should talk about rather, not that I wanted because I wasn't thinking about it until just now, but it looks as though, Henry Cavill is going to be playing, Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod, I think it's Connor. I hope it's Connor. I mean, it could be Adrian. Or Adrian. Adrian was the actor's name, not the character name. Duncan was his character name. Yeah, either one, honestly. I don't care. As long as we get another Highlander movie. So let's take a look at that story and see what it says. Okay, well, I'm gonna see if I can find it in a different place because my security on my browser just said nope, that website is trouble. So let's do a search here for new Highlander movie. Okay, here. Typing into the computer. All right. Oh, dude, this... I don't know if this is probably not true because it's on... We got this covered. So I'm clicking on the story from Variety because I know Variety is a reputable entertainment site. We've got this covered is all rumors and clickbait. I hate that website. According to Variety, it says, there can be only one, but apparently Henry Cavill can be many superheroes. Adding to his growing list of marquee franchises, the star of Man of Steel and Netflix's The Witcher is in negotiations to star in Lionsgate's reboot of Highlander, the 1986 fantasy adventure film that spawned an entire pop culture ecosystem, including sequels, TV series, tie-in novels, comics, and video games. Chad... Stahelski? I'm probably mispronouncing the guy he directed. It looks like he directed John Wick. He's going to be directing it with Neil H. Moritz, Josh Davis, and David Leitch producing. Amanda Lewis, Patrick Watchberger, and Gregory Wyden will executive produce. Carrie Williamson is writing it. So, it says here, Cavill's role is unclear, but he will be one of the two leads in the film. The original film starred Christopher Lambert and as Connor MacLeod, a Scottish warrior born in the 16th century who learns that he is immortal after he dies in battle, only to come back to life. And Sean Connery is Connor's mentor, an Egyptian improbably named Juan Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez, although he was born with the name Tacne. Juan teaches Connor that he is one of the small handful of humans who are born with this, what is called the quickening, which allows them to live forever unless they are beheaded. Centuries later, in present-day New York, Connor faces off against the Kurgan, played by Clancy Brown, another immortal who is bent on beheading all immortals, thereby becoming the most powerful being on Earth. Yeah, I'm wondering, you know what, with how big Henry Cavill is, I could almost see him playing the Kurgan. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that Henry Cavill should be Connor MacLeod, or should he be the Kurgan? Can you hear him saying, I have something to say. It's better to burn hell than to fade away. There can be only one. So that's one of my favorite lines from that movie. I need to rewatch that movie. Oh, wow. It says here, when the film first opened, it was a flop, grossing just $5.9 million domestically. But it was so popular on home video that Lambert and Connery starred in a sequel in 1991. And the franchise expanded from there. Now, most people don't know this. Fans of the Highlander series do know this. But there is no part two in the sequels. They just go from the first movie to the third movie. Because part two does not exist. Does not. We don't talk about it. Okay, I'll explain. Because they completely boned the story in the second movie. Like, they changed everything about it. Like, you know what? Let's make them aliens. Kind of like what Michael Bay almost did with Ninja Turtles. But the fans said, no way, dude. So that movie is garbage. I don't know of anybody who likes Highlander 2. As the fans go, though, they don't, at least the fans that I know, I could be wrong. There might be a new generation of people that love that movie. I've been surprised when I find out that people like certain franchises, even with the sequels or prequels that people don't like, that most people don't like. Then you find there's a small group of people out there that absolutely love the ones that the rest of the fans hate. So, yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be awesome to see Henry Cavill in a Highlander movie. I honestly don't care what character he plays. I just hope that they have a good story and that it makes, it doesn't have to, like, make 100% sense. It has to be entertaining, though. But that's me. I'm one of those people that, as long as I'm entertained, I don't care. As long as the story isn't so, I don't know. I know a lot of people who absolutely cannot stand the new trilogy of Star Wars movies, but I love them. I love every one of them. And I understand, at least I attempt to understand why people dislike them. I really don't get why they don't like it. I mean, it's like, dude, come on. It's a fucking movie. It's a fantasy film. It's, you know, it's got magic and it's got, you know, laser swords and all that other shit. And, you know, and I've said this before and I'm going to continue to say it till I'm fucking dead. These movies were made for kids. To quote Robert Kirkman, fuck you, it's for kids. You really shouldn't be getting butthurt over fictional stories, fictional characters that were designed for 8-year-olds. You shouldn't. I can tell you from my personal experience that I've gone back and watched, and I've talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about it again because this is one of those topics that really kind of get me kind of elevated as far as I get agitated. I've gone back and rewatched like old cartoons and old TV shows that I loved as a kid, and they don't hold up at all. At all. And I'm like, oh man, I love this show. I still kind of do, but only because of the nostalgia factor, because I have memories from watching that show or that movie when I was a kid. And I loved it then because it was the most amazing thing ever. But as an almost 50-year-old adult, I'm like, oh God, this is terrible. Why did I like this so much? I don't get it. So where was I going? I derailed so far. Let's see here.
Meanwhile, back at the podcast.
All right, so let's go back to the Feedly list. I've talked about those sufficiently. Let's see. Oh, also, I recently got myself Peacock. I subscribed to Peacock, and I've been rewatching the 2003-2004 reboot of Battlestar Galactica, and I don't remember there being so much politics on this show. Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it. I'm not a political guy. I've never liked politics, but for some reason I was able to like watch that show and not let the political side of things on it kind of sidetrack me from the main story, which still kind of includes the politics. But I don't know. I did recently, before I started watching that, I did rewatch the original Battlestar Galactica from like 1978, and. It's still kind of, you know, well, no, that's nostalgia talking. Nah, it fucking didn't hold up. I like it because it has some key actors in it that I enjoyed watching on television. And it reminds me of when I was a kid. That's really what it boils down to. The show's not that good. I think if I was to introduce somebody to the original Battlestar Galactica, hey, you should watch this. This is good. They'll watch it and go, dude, what the fuck did you tell me to watch? What is this shit? Why is everybody wearing Golda Mae? What is the deal with all the bay hair? It was the 70s, man. It was late 70s. It was the era of disco. In fact, I think there was disco in the show. Okay. See here. Looking at stories here. Oh, and I did watch the Friends reunion on HBO Max. I didn't watch the show. I think I've seen maybe an episode or two. I've seen lots of clips on YouTube from things that people have shared over the years, but I've never fully watched the show Friends because I couldn't relate to the characters because, you know, I don't know. There was just, I never got into it. I did watch the reunion, and it has inspired me to maybe go and watch the series from the beginning. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I enjoyed the reunion, though, because, you know, of the things I am aware of the show, it was cool to see them kind of talk about those things. And there's a part of the reunion where they show all the cameos from, like, celebrities that were on the show. I didn't know that Jennifer's boyfriend or husband or whatever, Jennifer Aniston's, you know, beau, I guess, or bae, as the young people call it, was on the show. Apparently, yeah. Let's see here. Marvel Studios. Ooh. Let's take a look at this story. From comicbook.com, Marvel Studios Twitter accounts for Moon Knight and possibly more found. Fans have discovered that they think are official Twitter accounts being held in reserve for when Disney needs to promote Marvel series Moon Knight, She-Hulk, I Am Groot, and other upcoming Disney Plus projects. Reddit user blah 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 took to the forum to share a number of URLs that appear to be placeholder Twitter accounts for numerous upcoming Marvel TV projects. It's possible that some or all of them are not official Twitter accounts, but once the thread got started, numerous contributors brainstormed and argued about whether the accounts and some new additions could be real. The accounts listed in the thread include Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, I Am Groot, Hawkeye, What If, She-Hulk, Armor Wars, Blade, and Secret Invasion. Some of have been created recently, while some are older. Although the ones created some time ago could either have been claimed by Marvel when they seemed strategically important, that's the word I was trying to say, or could have been acquired by Disney in the time since. I wonder if you were to register a Twitter username that is going to be used by someone who owns that IP, if they will exchange money for it. Maybe I should go. It's like people who bought a bunch of domain names thinking that, you know, at some point that celebrity is going to want that domain. I don't know. Maybe. I do know that Oscar Isaacs has been confirmed to be playing the part of Moon Knight, though. I saw that show up on the feed, Lee. I was like, oh, I know of Moon Knight only because of the Marvel's Spider-Man TV series. Let's see. Oh, and I also watched New Mutants yesterday. And holy shit, I think that movie would have freaked me out if I saw it in theaters. There was so many dark scenes in that movie. I'm glad I watched it in a fully lit room. You know, it was not remotely scary because I had all my lights on and it was in the middle of the day. Had I watched it in the dark or late at night, I probably would have been like all kinds of wigged out by it. It was a good movie, though. Ooh, here we go. Silk spoiler. Spoilers. Where is it? Oh, there it is.
Spoiler alert.
Silk casting details for Spider-Man spinoff reportedly revealed. This is off of comicbook.com. Development on Amazon's Silk series continues, with the creatives behind the series continuing to look for the titular role. According to a new report from the Illuminati, the production is still searching for an actor between the ages of 19 and 29 to play the role of Cindy Moon. It's said that the character is described as an indomitable spirit who can't help but care and is, quote, smart, self-assured, funny, but trying to please everyone, end quote. I don't know, man. I don't know enough Asian actors to be able to name anybody specifically, although I do like the girl who's been on the Kung Fu series on the CW. I did read some of the comics, and she does have the same proportions, and, you know, she looks like she's around the height that the character should be. You know, long black hair. And I believe, I could be wrong, I believe the character is Chinese, so that would work, I think. I'm pretty sure that the actor who plays the lead character in the new Kung Fu is Chinese, because the character is Chinese in that show. It says here. Oh, it just talks about who created the character and who's involved with developing the series. It says here the character was created by Dan Slott and Humberto Ramos, and she first appeared as her alter ego on Amazing Spider-Man number 1 in 2014. She then donned her suit for the first time as Silk 3 issues later. The live-action series is one of the first Spider-Man properties developed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller under their overall deal with Sony. The two hired San Kyu Kim, known for The Walking Dead and Jupiter's Legacy, to run the writer's room. Nice. Jupiter's Legacy is also a great show. I watched that last week, and it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. In fact, I'm hoping that we're going to get more of that. I think, is it a series or a movie? I can't remember. Either way, Jupiter's Landing is on Netflix. Hey, got somebody either followed. Oh, it's Jamal. What's going on, Jamal? What's happening, Jamal? Got the notification. And that's what that noise was. Someone liked the video. And it was Jamal. There we go. Back to, yeah, Silk is a cool character. I really dug it. I need to go back and reread those books. All right. What else is on Feedly for me to talk about? You know what? I'm actually almost done here, folks. It's already been an hour. Holy shit. Time flies when you're nerding out. So, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the 206 Geek. I've been your host, Todd, the 206 Geek. Be sure to check out my other podcast, It's Not About You, with Jamal, Marion, and Cousin Todd, which is me. You can go to facebook.com/notaboutyoupod. That's the letter U. And we do live streams like I do here. Although I'm probably not going to be doing it on Instagram, so it won't be in the middle of the screen. but yeah, so check that out. We're going to be live streaming on Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. I think it's 4 Eastern time. And that podcast goes for 2 hours, and then it gets, you know, I edit it into 2 episodes. Every episode of that podcast comes, the first part comes out on Tuesdays and the second part comes out on Fridays. And this podcast comes out every Friday. And today I'm going to, once I'm done here, I'm going to be editing it to remove the opening music. Actually, no, I might just leave it in there because it's the same one that I use on the actual podcast. But I will put that up and it will be on the normal podcast feed. Also, be sure to check out JTMnetworks.com, which is the podcast radio network that I'm running here. That's why the stream is like on all of the different Facebook pages, on Twitch and Twitter and Instagram. JTMnetworks.com is where you can listen to the podcast kind of on an endless loop. It will play random episodes on there throughout, 24/7. And if you want to hear the actual podcast as they are dropped, the newest episodes are on the podcast feed itself. I don't put them on the radio right away. So if you want to hear the newest episodes of the podcast, you want to go to 206geek.com to listen to the latest episode of the podcast there, or the other podcast that I do, notaboutyoupod.com, the letter U, not the word U. You can subscribe to both podcasts from the website. And thanks again. I really appreciate you guys for tuning in. If people did tune in, I haven't really been paying attention to the chat room if there is anything in there. Doesn't appear to be, which is fine. And this was a test this was a test over on Instagram. I don't know if I'm going to do this again on Instagram. I mean, it's cool that I could do this on Instagram. I'm streaming right from my computer with my podcast set up on Instagram, so that's cool. But I don't know if I'm going to do that again, because, like I said, I had to, I have to, like, center everything in the middle of the screen on the computer for it to show up over on, over here. Let's see. Checking out my activity on the Instagram on that account. You know what I might do now that I'm done with this, after I'm done like putting the podcast up on the feed, I'm going to probably go see Cruella. I'm going to go watch Cruella and I'll let you guys know what I think of it. So thanks again for tuning in and I will see you guys next time. Every Friday I try to do live shows. I don't always do the live, but check out, just follow me on Facebook at 206geek and on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm on the Clapper app too, newsclapper.com/206geek. I've got about 4,300 followers on there. And I might jump on there here in a minute and do a live stream as well. I also might just go in and finish watching the new episodes of Lucifer that's now available on Netflix. So you guys have a good day and have a fantastic weekend. See you next week. Hopefully I'll see you guys on Sunday watching my other podcast on Facebook and everything else that's here. And have a good one, folks.